Hi, I'm Mike Collins. We'll get to the Charlotte Talks podcast in just a few seconds, but first, it's fundraising time at WFAE, and I want to ask for your financial support. We're providing this podcast free from fundraising breaks other than this one, so won't you consider a financial donation in return? How about $5 a month? That would help pay for the server space for us to host this podcast. Plus, you'll get the Charlotte Adventure Map full of fun things to do around town. Donate online at WFAE.org or call anytime, 704-549-9000. And thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting us. Mr. Charlotte Talks, I'm Mike Collins. Does Charlotte have enough parks, enough green space? Well, if you listen to the Trust for Public Lands, the answer would be no. They say we rank 97th. Out of 100 of America's largest cities for quality and investment in parks. And we've been at the bottom of that list for the last 5 years. But when Eric Spanberg guest hosted this program last week and asked County Manager Dina DiIorio about that survey, she had a different take.
That survey that they do is very limited in terms of what they look at. So they look at things that look at neighborhood parks, they look at playgrounds, basketball hoops, senior centers, and dog parks. That's what they look at. They don't take into consideration our community parks, our regional parks, our greenways, our nature preserves, pools, all the other amenities, tennis courts. They don't count any of the other amenities that we have in Mecklenburg County. It's a very, very narrow view, and I think people need to understand that. The other thing is they only look at the city of Charlotte, and they don't look at the entire county. And we have amenities like Matthews Sportsplex, which is a very, very big venue and a tremendous asset, but that doesn't get counted because it's not within the city of Charlotte. So the other thing I would say is that we survey our community, and they tell us what's most important to them. And what they've told us is greenways and trails are really the most important thing that people want. And so when we develop our plan, our master plan for parks, we like to respond to what the residents tell us is important. So while I understand that that's a survey, I really don't think it's reflective at all of the assets that we have in Mecklenburg County.
DiIorio also said that we have been adding and opening park projects left and right. In fact, she says the capital spending on Parks and Rec has never been as high as it is today, and next year's budget will ensure the county's ability to maintain and grow what we have. So we're going to look at what we have, at what's in the pipeline, and where we may fall short with two local officials in charge of our parks. But first, I want to talk with one of the people responsible for the survey we just referenced, which has served as a wake-up call to park quality and availability in Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. Charlie McCabe is director of the Trust for Public Lands Center for City Park Excellence, and he joins us now by phone from Boston. Mr. McCabe, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let me begin with you because I want to start talking to you about this survey, which we just heard Dina DiIorio talk about. Given what we just heard the county manager say about the number, the size, the quality of our parks and our recreational opportunities, is measuring just what's available within the city of Charlotte a fair measure of what's available here?
It's a good question. And this is the seventh year we've actually done the Park Score survey. And we work with each of the public agencies within a given city. And a number of years ago, a little before my time, the city of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County decided on a sphere of influence, which included Charlotte and some portions of the county as the kind of the standard for measurement. We have gone back and looked at other options and possibilities. Another option is to look at the entire county in a future survey. Just kind of want to throw that out there.
Would that answer also explain my next question, which is, since the county funds and runs the parks, should the city of Charlotte be blamed for any deficits?
It's a unique situation, but we have a number of cities in the 100 largest that actually have city-county combination governments, from small cities like San Francisco, small in terms of area, to Honolulu, which actually controls the entire island of Oahu. So it really kind of depends, and we try to work with each city agency or the set of agencies that provide parks to kind of find the right footprint. So we're always happy to kind of re-examine that.
So even if you just took the downtown core of Charlotte, there, the downtown area, I don't know how familiar you are with Charlotte since you're in Boston, but the downtown area has four wards, four old voting districts, and the city is divided up into those four wards, and each of those wards has its own park, and there are several other parks scattered outside of the individual four wards, but are still in the so-called urban core of the city of Charlotte. And I'm just curious where else we could have parks and how we could have more parks, since there's a park in those four wards and immediately surrounding the inner core of cities there of the city. There are parks. How can we rank 97th with all these parks?
Yeah, so the way a park score works is we look at four kind of categories. We look at acreage, which actually Charlotte does very well on in terms of median acreage. Access, which is the kind of the key one. It's how quickly you can get to a park within a 10-minute walk, which is about a half a mile. And then, as you mentioned earlier, investment and amenities. And we look at a series of amenities that are kind of we can look at across all 100 cities. Mm-hmm. And investment includes both public and private spending. The big thing that we see that cities are kind of taking advantage of are opportunities to increase the access. So looking for barriers that they can cross. So you have a large street that has no signalized crossing. Is there a way to put a signalized crossing to get more access to a park from a neighborhood or a school? Trails. I know that Charlotte is really focused on building a lot of additional trails. Those are great, connectors and equalizers as well. So that's another thing. And another area that we've really seen some good progress on is essentially a joint use agreement between the Parks Department and the school district. And essentially what that does is it allows access after hours and on weekends for any but member of the public to go and use school grounds. So the playgrounds, the basketball hoops, the playing fields, and that sort of thing. And that's helped a number of cities improve their scores and improve their access scores. So there are a number of less expensive ways to go and improve park access.
So you judge on access, acreage, investment, and amenities. When it comes to acreage or size, is it merely the size of each individual park, or there's another factor involved, or is it the total acreage of parks available?
No, that's a good question. It's a combination of two things, really. It's both the median park size and then the parkland as a percentage of the city area. So, while Charlotte does really well in terms of median park size, you have an 18 acres is the median size of the parks in Charlotte, and you get the maximum number of points. Only 4% of the city is actually parkland. So that's the two kind of play off each other to a certain extent.
And you also judge on investment, and investment is judged on park spending per resident. Does that include greenways? Does it include facilities that might be buildings like indoor swimming pools, or is it just open air parks?
No, great question. It's the budget that we get from all the public agencies as well as any nonprofits that are actually operating as well. And the way we look at it is it's a combination of operation and maintenance, programming, and then capital spending. And what we try to do in order to kind of balance everything out, because capital spending can rise and fall in given years, we average 3 years of spending on the public side to make sure that we're not seeing kind of peaks and valleys, because depending on bond elections and spending and that sort of thing, you can see kind of tremendous rises and falls, and that's kind of a false positive.
And you also talk about amenities. So what sorts of amenities bring higher ratings?
Sure. So what we've really tried to do over time is come up with a list of amenities that are in all 100 cities. So it's a bit of a challenge because we have cities as far north as Anchorage, Alaska, and as far south as Laredo, Texas. And that can be a little bit of a challenge. We also want to have facilities that meet a number of different needs of the population. So everything from the very young to people with children to people without children to senior citizens. So the six that we've actually score against are pretty universal. And again, we rely on each of the city and public agencies to provide us with that data. So it's things that they can count and count easily and quickly.
Sure.
So they are basketball hoops. So go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say that Charlotte falls down on access. And nationally, 70% of Park Square City residents meet the 10-minute walking distance standard. Evidently, we don't. And your organization has a goal of putting a park or a natural area within a 10-minute walk of every resident in the country. Why is that important? What's that 10-minute benchmark about?
No, it's a great question. So we've looked at a number of studies that have been done over time, both at the local, state, and national levels, and they show that if you're closer to a park, if the barriers to a park are decreased, your opportunity and essentially the incidence of park use goes way up. So essentially, if you can put the kids in a stroller and walk 10 minutes, hopefully crossing just a few streets and that sort of thing, you can actually get to a park quicker and everybody can have fun and enjoy the park longer. If you have to get into a car, if you have to get into a bus, if you have to get on a bike, that decreases the usage. So it's just really kind of a simple view of how you can get there, how you lower the barriers to access.
Unlike cities like New York City, maybe Philadelphia, perhaps Boston, once you get outside of the city core in Charlotte, you're in a suburban environment where people have backyards and front yards and neighborhood cul-de-sac streets that are fairly safe to play baseball on and things like that. Does it matter that we don't have parks out in those areas? Does it matter, really?
You know, yeah, no, good question. You know, so I think the way we look at Park Score is it's a very high-level overview of what's going on in a given city. Again, we work with the agencies to collect the data, we get all the GIS information, and we map it out. But at the end of the day, it's really up to the local agencies working with, you know, the local communities to decide kind of what are the priorities there. And if you have large areas that have backyards and big opportunities. Maybe they have HOA parks, homeowner association parks that are private for those specific communities that may reduce the need for parks in that given area. So it really comes down to making sure that, you know, you're listening to your constituencies, that you're thinking about things that are kind of bring people together. I think Charlotte's efforts to rejuvenate its trail program, a very aggressive trail program that started, you know, right around the Great Recession, and we're looking to fund more and more, is going to be a great boon to both access as well as bringing more people to get out and enjoy the outdoors.
Charlie McCabe is director for the Trust for Public Land Center for City Park Excellence. They did the survey that ranks Charlotte 97th out of 100 of America's top cities in terms of our parks. We'll talk more about that deficit with people who run the parks when we come back in a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
WFAE is proud to launch She Says, a new investigative podcast about sexual assault told by someone who's living it. Find the first episode of She Says now on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and WFAE.org/She Says.
It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. For the rest of the hour, we focus on how the county is reacting to the park score we received from the Center for City Park Excellence at the Trust for Public Land, and we examine what's coming and what funding is in place to maintain and grow our parks. Joining us now is Lee Jones, Director of Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation. Good morning and welcome and congratulations, because you're new in that position, relatively speaking, right?
Good morning, Mike. I am. Okay. Thank you.
Good to see you. And Heidi Pruis is chair of the Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation Commission, which advises the county commission on the topic. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Just so people get some frame of reference here, the number one city in the country, according to this survey, for parks is Minneapolis. They edged out their sister city, St. Paul, which must gall St. Paul, I'm sure. They edged them out. Washington, D.C. is third. Arlington, Virginia, which is on the other side of the Potomac from Washington, is fourth, followed by San Francisco, Portland, Cincinnati, Chicago, New York City, and Irvine, California. Those are the top 10 cities. The bottom cities include Baton Rouge, Memphis, Winston-Salem, and Laredo. I don't know much about Baton Rouge, but I'm surprised that Winston-Salem is on the list. I'm surprised that we are on the list. How much of it has to do with the fact that in the South, we have a lot of open country as opposed to Minneapolis and New York City, and we don't need as many parks?
Well, from my perspective, you know, our goal in Mecklenburg County is to provide park and recreation amenities to all of the citizens. And I think we do a really good job of that. We have over 211 facilities. We've got 80 neighborhood parks, 37 community parks, 20 regional parks, 25 nature preserves. In that area, I think that's pretty significant. And I don't think that you would look at it from a perspective that because we're in the South, we don't need parks. We're a rapidly growing urban community combined with a county and seven incorporated municipalities, including the city of Charlotte.
So we ranked 97th on the Trust for Public Lands Park Excellence Survey, 97th, and evidently we've been at the bottom of that list for 5 years, and they grade us on access, acreage, investment, and amenities. Do you agree with any or all of what they're saying? Does it shock you that we're 97th? Does it trouble you that we're 97th, or is this just a survey and to heck with it?
Well, I think surveys are important. I don't think that it gives us cause to think that we have a bad park system. We have an award-winning park system. In 2012, we received the gold medal from the National Recreation and Park Association for being the best park and recreation department in the United States with a population of over 500,000. And we're very proud of that. We have not lost our momentum in providing amenities to the residents and citizens of Mecklenburg County. We're driven by community input. We have very unique facilities here. We follow a long and short range plan to provide those amenities. And under our current leadership, and particularly the Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners and County Manager Dina DiOrio has provided us with funding more than we've ever had, and I've been here for 14 years, even though I've only been in this position for two months.
So what are we to take away from this? You just told me that one other organization calls the Park and Recreation Department the best in the country. We have another organization saying we rank 97th in the country for our parks. What are we to take away from this?
Well, I think what are we to take away from this is there are two different ways of looking at it. Everyone has a different point of view. If you look at a painting on the wall, you might like it. I look at it, I might not like it. At the same time, I think the Trust for Public Land was very forthcoming in telling us about the metrics that they use. They use a very standardized format as to how they determine their score, and it's based on empirical data. Our scoring and our ability and our success in winning that award is based on satisfaction by the users of our amenities and our innovation in terms of our programs and the facilities we provide.
So when you see this survey that's come out, and it's gotten a lot of press, and in fact, Dina DiOrio wrote an article repeating pretty much verbatim what she said on this program last week in The Observer on the op-ed page today, when you look at what they said about us, do you take it into consideration? Do you take it with a grain of salt?
I think it's important to take it into consideration. Knowledge is power. And if you get someone that says that, you know, we think you can do better on access, I want to take a look at access. But at the same time, I want us to look at the use of our parks. It talked about a bicycle and getting, you know, if you can ride a bicycle to a park, it means you're not going to use it that much. I don't know if I particularly agree with that logic. I'd like to sit down and talk to the Trust for Public Land about that in a bit more detail. I also would welcome the opportunity to work more closely with the Trust for Public Land in terms of looking at the form that is filled out to provide them with the data and see some of the areas that I think that we have a mutual misconception.
Since this is your business and you've been in this business for 14 years, have you been to some of these cities that have that rank better than we do on this list?
I have.
Have you been to Minneapolis?
Yes,
since
I have.
Since they're number one, let's talk about them. I've never been to Minneapolis. Well, I've been to the Mall of America.
Well, that counts.
That's a park unto itself. how do they compare to us? What do they have that we don't have?
Well, they have about 500,000 residents. We have over 1 million residents in the county and in the ETJ of Charlotte and in our seven incorporated municipalities. So that's a lot more people. We're in kind of a situation whereby this park and recreation system came about in 1992 when the city's park and recreation department merged with the county. So you had urban and suburban merging together. And a lot of planning had been underway. There was major urban renewal. And we're not, even though we're on a grid system, it's not a checkerboard pattern where every fourth checker square you can have a park. Mm-hmm. With the development that we've had over the past 3 years, all the space has been taken up and the value of the land has gone up. So there's a different density of development and density of use and also the seasonality of use, whereas it's colder in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You can use the parks in Charlotte 12 months out of the year. And I haven't been there in January. It's not pleasant to use those parks in January.
Except I know people who live there who can't wait for it to be 30 below. And I said, why? And they said, because you can go hunting, you can go fishing.
Yeah, they love to go ice fishing.
Love go ice fishing. Heidi Pruis is here. She's the chair of the Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation Commission, which advises the county commission on parks. Why do you exist? Why do we have a department and then an advisory committee to the commission about the parks? Why do we have the redundancy?
Yeah, the Board of County Commissioners decided years ago to have a suite of advisory boards and commissions to advise them on variety of things. So what the Park and Recreation Commission really is charged with doing is understanding the public's viewpoint and input into the park and rec process. It's kind of a give or take, check and balance kind of thing. It's always good to have many eyes on one piece of work to be sure that something that is being talked about maybe on the south end doesn't get lost because we're just talking about the north end or something like that.
So where do you stand on this survey that came out that ranks us 97th in the country? What's your reaction to that? Do you think that the parks operational organization, which is represented here by Lee Jones, is doing a good job? Do you think we have sufficient money being put into the parks by the county? What's your take on it all?
Yeah, well, I agree that surveys are important. We use them all the time in all the work that we do. We also know that when you do a survey, it only accounts for the people that you talk to, right? And that's part of the issue with getting public input and really understanding issues. So I appreciate
But their survey seems to be more empirical. They're going by acreage. They're going by access. Road that blocks access to a park?
But even then, just like when you do a public survey, you're just getting pieces of the community. When you do an empirical survey, you're just using specific pieces of data here and there and that sort of thing. We have all kinds of surveys in Mecklenburg County and in the city of Charlotte. We have the quality of life survey, for instance, which really pulls together a bunch of empirical data to tell you how things are going throughout the county or throughout the city. So it's really important to have those things. And as a Park and Rec Commission, our role is to really take a look at that information, but then hear the voices of the community who's actually using our parks or wants to use our parks to see that. And we think, you know, this survey is good in that it highlighted one of the things that is the Park and Rec Commission priority, which is partnerships. I heard earlier that, you know, partnerships were important with regard to access. Partnerships were important with regard to really understanding how Park and Rec space works with the rest of the community. The Trust for Public Lands folks were saying CM or the school systems, right? That there was a partnership there. We know that there's opportunity for access partnerships when it comes to neighborhoods, and that would be a partnership with the city or with the towns.
Despite our state motto, we are a city that likes to be well thought of, and we are an aspirational city, one that wants to be the best at everything we put our foot forward to do. So we fall at the bottom of this list of 100 cities in terms of parks. This gets national attention. This was written about in Fast Company. It was written about in Time Magazine, to name just two publications that have talked about this survey and where we rank. Specifically, they mentioned Charlotte. How important is, in your world, is or to Charlotte or to Mecklenburg County, is the fact that we have this low rating on this park score?
It's a great opportunity, I think. I think it's an opportunity for us to look at where
But people are reading about this in Time Magazine and going, ooh, I don't want to live there.
Well, but look at what's happened with the Opportunity Task Force and the attention that Charlotte has gotten when it comes to economic mobility in this area and the influx of great conversations that we're having about how can we improve that. I think that this is an opportunity for Park and Recreation and our community to really come together and say, where can we leverage these partnerships? Where can we hear the community voices about what's important to us, aside from what's important nationwide? And how can we take advantage of this attention to really focus in on how we can make it better?
Ed Barnhart, who is the president of Greenways for Mecklenburg and former Parks Commissioner, has called the park score and findings by the Trust for Public Land, quote, embarrassing and disappointing, particularly when it comes to per capita spending on parks and accessibility to park land by citizens. He says we spend a third of what the city of Atlanta spends and one-fifth of what Minneapolis spends, which comes in, they come in at number one. What's your response to that? Is he over-exaggerating this?
Well, not knowing what data Ed is specifically looking at other than the studies, and Ed is doing a great job with Greenways for Mecklenburg, and he was on our Park and Recreation Commission. One thing that we have to take into consideration as it relates to that is the number of amenities that we're getting, the level of satisfaction that we're receiving from our constituents. The other day, you know, we're going to be closing Park Road Park to do a sewer project with Charlotte Water. A reporter went over and talked to a mother who was out there with her kids and said, how do you feel about, you know, your park's coming in at the bottom, number 97? She goes, what? I had no idea. This is a great park. I love our parks. I love Park Road Park. I love Freedom Park. So that tells me that we're doing something right. Now, with the focus on specific amenities like greenways, and that's what I think Ed is talking about if you get down into his deep into his op-ed, the thing that with greenways is that that's one of our most desired and amenities, but the difficulty is the problems in building them with the regulatory requirements, building them in the riparian quarters along the streams. But those greenways provide us with connectivity, and they radiate out from the center of Charlotte, the way the stream network is. It's not on a grid pattern, and the successful accessibility as it relates to the study would be with a grid pattern.
He points out, Ed Barnhart points out, that as the city grows and becomes more dense, it will become more difficult to find and to allocate land for parks. And he says that one solution, of course he's on the greenway thing, is to complete this 200-mile greenway network within the county. 10 years ago, park officials set a goal of 129 miles of greenway trails by 2018. Well, it's 2018, and we've completed 49 of those 129 miles. Why are we so far behind the eight ball on this?
We're behind the eight ball from that optic based on the fact that we hit a big recession in 2008. We had just passed, back in 2004, we passed a $69 million bond referendum, including $25 million for greenways, $25 million for other sports amenities, $8 million for partnerships to move forward. We've had to regroup. We lost 50% of our staff. We lost about 45% of our budget, and we've been working our way back up. As the economy has picked up and tax revenue has picked up, we've grabbed the reins and have moved forward and accelerated our projects over the past 10 years in a way that, you know, no one in Charlotte has seen before. If you go out and look at the level of design and the quality of products, Heidi was just at one of our openings yesterday for the new Cordelia Park indoor shelter, a wonderful amenity that the community has been waiting for, and with the greenway that connects to that shelter, and with the greenway that's going to go from Marion Deal Park, another partnership with Queens, that's going to take us all the way down to the South Carolina line. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're moving ahead as quickly as we can. Now, you have to remember that haste also makes waste. If you try to do too much too soon and not take into consideration all the due diligence that's required to do something correctly, you end up having a problem, and we don't want that.
And you just announced, or somebody just announced, the intention to put the rail trail bridge across 277 so that it doesn't terminate in South End. You can actually you'll be able to come into Uptown. Where does that project stand? Is that just a pipe dream at the moment, or a goal, or is that actually under? Has it been funded?
My understanding is that is a goal. Okay. And that we're trying to work out the details with partners to make that happen.
We're going to come back and talk in a moment about the recession and its impact on the parks and see why it's taken so long to recover from that recession and from the parks' point of view in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about parks in Mecklenburg County because the Trust for Public Land just put out their survey, and for the fifth year in a row, we're at the bottom of 100 cities at number 97. And we're talking now with Lee Jones, the director of Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation, and Heidi Pruis, the chair of the Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation Commission, about where we are, what our plans are, what we have, what the state of the parks are, and where we're going from here. And you pointed out a minute ago, Lee, about the recession and how the recession really put the kibosh on things. And we did several shows about the impact of the recession at the time on libraries and schools and parks and everything cut back. People who weren't here back then don't remember that we even stopped cutting the grass at public parks because there was simply no money to do that during the recession. But that was 10 years ago. Why has the economy has recovered 5 or 6 years ago. So why has it taken us so long at the park level, the county level, to recover from this?
Well, we had to rebuild staff, and we had to rebuild funding to be able to do these projects that the Board of County Commissioners and the county manager had promised the voters we would do.
Well, the recession, prior to the recession, we had the permission from voters to float $250 million in park bonds. That was approved in 2008, but never sold because we didn't want to incur debt at the depth of the recession. Have we since issued those bonds, or has that permission expired to issue those bonds?
What we did is we did a combination of things. We issued some of the bond funding, but we saw that we had tax revenue and we didn't need bond funding. So we used the methodology of PAYGO, using tax revenue to pay mm-hmm. to cover this cost and minimize the county's debt to asset ratio. And what we did with that funding is we've upped our staff. The staff in Park and Recreation is now back up to about maybe 75% of what we had before the recession. But we have planners, architects, and landscape architects.
Then why not issue the bonds?
Well, we've gotten the funding in another way. Our goal was to spend.
But if you're only up to 75% of your staff, 75% of your staff, why not issue the bonds?
Because we also have staff in another department, asset facility management, that has engineers, architects, landscape architects, and planners, and we work collaboratively. They take it over from a contract management perspective, and we do all the planning. So what this allows us to do is more projects more efficiently. So that's how we've moved forward. Based on the surveys that we did in 2016, we're providing all the amenities that the public is asking for at a rate that exceeds what we were doing prior to the recession. And at the same time, we're accommodating the population that's moving here at over 60 people a day. That's an incredible amount of additional density.
Do you agree with all that?
Well, it really is. Leah is right on that there have been efficiencies gained because we had a recession, right? So we appreciate that. But it is true that the Park and Rec Department remains below the pre-recession mm-hmm. levels with regard to overall operating budget spending. That means that, well, you know, we've added 27 parks. We've added 17 miles of greenway since then.
How much more could we have done if we had issued the bonds? $250 million is a lot of money.
It is. And so there are bond projects that were approved that have been put into the capital funding to be built. And unfortunately, some of them will remain in design phase through 2023. So there is an opportunity, you're right, to increase capital spending, but there's also an opportunity to increase operational spending. And we know, for instance, we have summer camps that are offered throughout the county. The day that they become available, they are full. And adding in and increasing the funding to support the services that are requested from the community of our park and recreation system is something that could be done.
So getting back to Ed Barnhart, who was a former parks commissioner and he's head of the Greenway organization, he points to the 200-mile network of trails that could be completed by 2035. And he says they could do that if the commitment was there. And he says the commitment is dollars. And he says public sentiment in support of greenways is running ahead of county leaders who haven't made them a priority. Would they be part of that $250 million bond issue? Would that be a separate thing altogether?
There are some greenway projects within that bigger bond package.
Is there a commitment to dollars, or is he just upset because he's not getting what he wants for greenways?
I would say, and Lee can correct me if I'm wrong, that the entire greenway build out that is being referenced by Ed was not included in that 2008 bond package. That was a portion of the Greenway program that could have been done. It also included, though, recreation centers and other capital projects. So the idea is we need to develop the entire park and recreation system so that we can meet some of those issues, like the amenities that were talked about in the Trust for Public Lands. We have trails and greenways are always number one when it comes to our public service, but we have other amenities
as well. So voters went to the polls 10 years ago and they said, yes, you can spend $250 million of our hard-earned money to do this. You never issued the bonds for very good reasons at the time. Are you telling me now that those bonds will never be issued? No reason to issue them. Don't need the money.
What I'm telling you is that we're going to cover the cost of those projects through a combination of bonds that have been sold and with pay-go dollars.
Is that just a change of philosophy? Did we not need the bonds in the first place 10 years ago?
No, we did not have the tax revenue growth that we've had over the past 5 years that we had 10 years ago.
And is that tax revenue growth coming from newcomers, the growth of the city in terms of residents?
It's coming from a variety of sources, but that is definitely one of them. And the projects that we're going to do is, you know, what we're going to be doing, these next 27 projects are like two regional recreation centers, which will improve access. They're going to be 100,000 square feet each. They're going to be a regional draw. That will increase access to parks, with 13 additional greenway projects as a part of the $250 million bond referendum, several renovations of existing recreation centers and park amenities to do. Another thing that was in our master plan is to take care of what we have.
Is part of the reason that we ranked so low on this survey because of our growth? You referenced the fact that 60 people a day are moving here. The city is growing leaps and bounds. We are told by Kerr Putney that we're under-policed for the population that we have today, et cetera. Are we under-parked because of the population growth?
Well, you know, we're going to need more recreation opportunities, and what we're going to have to do is look at the facilities that we have now, how they can be better programmed, better accessed, and better utilized. Anytime there's a change in population of the density that we're seeing, it's a chance to step back and look at a study like TPL and look at what we have in terms of our standards for what we need to require for park and provide for park and recreation amenities.
So after County Manager Dina DiIorio appeared on this program last week, we heard from Ruth Ann Grissom, a parks volunteer who also serves on the board of the Land Trust for Central North Carolina, and she took issue with some of Dina DiIorio's comments, calling them inaccurate, and she pointed specifically to this comment.
I think Park and Rec is in a really, really great space. You know, we have done so many capital projects. If you look at the last year, how many ribbons we've cut on things we've completed has been incredible. I think this year we'll have finished 18 park projects. And we have a number of park projects in the hopper for the next 4 years. So the capital spending on Park and Rec has never been as high as it's been. And my responsibility is to make sure that in the operating budget that we put in the sufficient amount of resources to make sure that we can adequately maintain those assets. And that's what you see in this budget are positions and dollars to maintain the new assets that we bring online.
Well, that was the wrong cut, but okay. Sorry, that's she's talking about something else altogether. But do you agree with her on that? Or would more money grow the system more quickly to meet future goals?
It will, but we'll have to take into consideration the increased population and how we want to be able to more efficiently utilize and program our facilities. And what we've done internally is we've hired a fiscal analyst to do evaluations on these. That's now a part of our team to help us keep pulse on these sorts of issues. And so the next time that we do, the Trust for Public Land does this survey, we're going to be more transparent and more understanding with regards to the type of data that they need and the individualized uniqueness of some of the programs and amenities that we have here that they would be counted.
So let's go back to the right cut and hear what Dina DiIorio said that Ruth Ann Grissom takes issue with.
So they look at neighborhood parks, they look at playgrounds, basketball hoops, senior centers, and dog parks. That's what they look at. They don't take into consideration our community parks, our regional parks, our greenways, our nature preserves, pools, all the other amenities, tennis courts, they don't count any of the other amenities that we have in Mecklenburg County. It's a very, very narrow view, and I think people need to understand that.
So she's referring, of course, to the survey that we've been talking about all morning, and Ruth Ann Grissom disagrees with her and calls those comments inaccurate because she points to the equal weight given to acreage, investment, amenities, and access that we spoke to Charlie McKay with the Trust for Public Lands about. So who is right? Dina or Ruth Ann Grissom?
I think, you know, if you look at it, now I didn't read what Ruth Ann said, just heard what you just said here, but I did hear what Charlie said, and I looked at the actual report. The actual report shows aggregate land. It does not show here's a mile of greenway, here's another mile of greenway. So it's looking at the data in different ways. It's just showing the whole land mass. It's not showing the connectivity. It's not showing the actual length of the trails, and I think that's what the county manager is talking about, a different level of specificity.
Okay, let's bring in some comments that people have been making while we've been on the air here on our website. Jack writes, why does the Parks Department create essentially fictional master plans? 200 miles of greenway, 9 public pools, X number of rec centers, parks within safe walking distance of homes, etc. When scored against the plans, we achieve 20% of our goals and declare success.
Right. We definitely need to reflect on the fact that we've had a master plan. We've had a master plan for quite a long time. We did have
this is something you wanted to talk about, Heidi.
Well, you know, I think where we were in 2008 when the original master plan was developed was a different world. It was a different Charlotte, a different Mecklenburg than what we are today.
So we need a new plan?
We need a new plan.
But we haven't succeeded on the old plan.
Well, that's right.
You know, we do a lot of planning here.
Well, and it's not just a plan to plan. I mean, it really is to reflect where we are today and where we're going moving forward.
If we come up with a new master plan, will we succeed at playing it out?
Well, of course, that remains to be seen, but I think that we certainly could do a better job. And it's not that we would disregard what is not complete in the old master plan. It's just that we need to take a really good look at it.
John emails, we don't have a park near us, but we do have a school, Lansdowne Elementary, with a large, underused, poorly designed space. Are there any conversations about joint ventures between neighborhoods, parks, and public schools?
Absolutely. We have almost 40 joint use agreements that we have with CMS for the use of fields, shared use of gymnasiums, playground equipment, et cetera, and we're expanding that. We meet with them on a monthly basis to even discuss future joint use opportunities as they plan out their schools. That's another clarification that we need to have in the study because we're well into that.
You've come up with an app. I think, has it gone online yet, this app for parks?
We have started testing it internally. It's going to be released shortly.
And the app will do what?
The app will do a couple of things. One, it will help you if you're on the greenway and you want to know where your location is. But most importantly, it'll help you in the event that something's wrong. It'll help our park rangers coordinate with Charlotte Mecklenburg Police to provide you with assistance as needed.
Karen on Facebook very quickly says some of those nice greenways have nowhere to park, so if you don't live nearby, forget it. It's not always feasible to just get on a greenway and bike and walk. Any plans to address that problem?
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's part of this partnership that we really need to have with the city and the towns to connect neighborhoods better in with our greenway system and to be sure that those greenway systems are connecting with our other amenities like our recreation centers and our other parks.
So if we were number one in the country as opposed to 97th, what would be different? What would it look like? Very quickly, because I'm out of time.
I don't think it would look much different than what it looks now. I think that what we would have is people would be more aware of the parks. They may have better access. We'll coordinate with Charlotte Department of Transportation. But the most important thing is that we will still be providing a top high level of recreation amenities and parks for the citizens and residents of Mecklenburg County.
Lee Jones is director of Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation. Heidi Pruis is the chair of the Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation Commission, which advises the County Commission on Parks. Thank you both for the hour. I appreciate it.
Thank you.